Hallelujah. Wow. What a great morning. I tell you. Well, we rejoice with Greg and Claire, the newlyweds. We had a wonderful wedding on Friday. And, of course, they were on honeymoon. And we just pray that they also have a tremendous, tremendous time. Then, of course, Keith and Debbie Geyer, we bless them while they're over in South Africa. How small is the world? Keith and Debbie, Keith's mom, lives in the same little holiday coastal town that my parents live in. I mean, South Africa has over 40 million people, and he has a town of around 5,000, and we come from, and we now, our parents are located in the same little coastal town. And not only that, Kim McCall, Kim and David, who are in Lagos at the moment, we were meant to catch up with them, but they had visa problems, so they couldn't come back to South Africa last week on holiday to catch up with us and the kids. But we'll try and reach them this week and find out how they're doing in Lagos and hear if they settled. But same with Kim and David McCall, from the same little hometown, the same little coastal town. Isn't that amazing? And yes, you know, the interesting thing is we never knew each other there. We only got to know each other here. What's the chance of that? Wow, what an amazing God we serve. Well, I want to share something very, very specific over the next weeks. I've got a couple of words in my heart, and we've had this theme this month, has been on the Holy Spirit. And that we've been speaking, and I don't really actually know what everybody's been sharing because I haven't been here, but really, God wants us to discover the third person of the Trinity in a fresh new way. The person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was kind of interesting because I've been meditating a lot on that myself and just trying to become more and more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And try and hear his leading and his directing. And, you know, when we begin to flow with him, things happen with ease. You know, things really do. Because there's a supernatural dimension that kicks in. And when that supernatural dimension kicks in, it's not about things becoming unnatural. You know, sometimes the old Pentecostal mindset, and certainly in my first introduction into the charismatic renewal back in the 70s, and some of Pentecostalism back then was weird and wonderful. Sometimes the weirdness was a little more than the wonderful, you know. Sometimes the weirdness created a lot of wonder, and you wonder what was going on. But, you know, as I've begun to really discover the relationship I have with the third person of the Trinity, the Parakletos, the one who is with us, the one who is with me, the one who guides me and leads me, is that he is all about actually equipping and training me to be a vehicle of kingdom, blessing, life, and advancement into my world. Amen? And not about coming over me and then filling me in an extreme way that becomes an unnatural manifestation and that I cannot touch lives out there. You see, we got to understand that what it's all about is, I believe it's about God adding the super to the natural. The super to the natural. And I wish the businessman that I was with a few months ago was here this morning. I know he's out and about, and he's busy. This time of the year is his real season of lots of work and that sort of thing. But I caught up with one of the business guys in the church a few months ago at a cafe. And just to iterate how simply God can use you supernaturally. And as I walked up to the counter, it's one of the cafes I frequent, so the lady behind the counter knew who I was, and I knew her, and I saw she was really in pain. She was in a huge amount of pain. Her name's Christina. And I looked over at Christina, and I said, "Christina, are you okay? You know, you look like you're in such pain." She said, "For the last 3-4 days, I've done something to my back, and I can hardly move." And I said, but why don't you take time off? She said, well, I manage the cafe. There's nobody to take my place. If I go, then it shuts down. And she said, I've just got to grin and bear it and work through. And I said, you know, that's not God's heart. She kind of smiled because she knew I was already a pastor. And I said to her, you know what, Christina? You need God to heal you right now. That's not right. And I had people queuing up behind me waiting to order coffee. You know, and I just said to her, Christina, just pass me your hand. So she passed her hand across the counter to me, and I just took her hand, and I said, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present right now, and that you are the power of God, and that you want to, you desire to heal Christina and show her your love. I pray that you heal her right now in Jesus' name. Just simply, eyes open, and I actually said to her, I said, Christina, look at me. I said, got all these people behind me. You know, I knew it had to be quick because otherwise I'm going to get frustrated and, you know. And I just said, and right in that moment, she said, oh, there's a real heat. I can feel such a heat. And I said, okay, here's my order. Process it. And you watch, just let the Lord, he's continued to do the work. And of course, this businessman was with me and he was just so powerfully impacted. You know, tears in his eyes. And he said, well, Sean, and we went and sat down while we took our number, placed our order, finished our order, finished paying, went and sat down. And lo and behold, two people behind us standing in the queue was a woman. And she saw this whole thing happen. And she was actually there to get coffee and to sit down. And she came and sat on the table next to us. And after a few moments, she turned to us. She asked me, she said, are you a pastor? I said, why do you ask? She said, I'm actually here. My world has fallen apart. I made a decision this morning that I'm going to commit suicide and take my life. And she said, when I saw you pray for that woman, I felt God say to me, I need to speak to you. Anyway, cut a long story short. We prayed for her right there. She had been a Christian as a child and early teens. Had got involved in the wrong crowd, went completely off the rails, got involved with multiple relationships, destroyed her life, and had just had a huge another relational breakdown. Had started taking drugs again and thought there's no hope. Our world out there is hopeless. And right there, she saw a glimmer of hope. We prayed with her. Here's the exciting thing. She is now an active member of Enjoy Church out west. She committed her life to the Lord right there in the cafe. In the cafe. She was touched powerfully. I said to her, where are you from? Where do you live? She told me, I live out west. I said, there's a great church out there, Enjoy Church. She said, oh, I've heard about that church. I said, will you go along? And I said, you text me and let me know. About 2-3 weeks later, she texted me. And the last time I heard she's still going for God. She's loving the Lord. And God has done an amazing work of restoration. And then to cut a long story short, Christina, about half an hour later, came and she said, my back's completely healed. I'm fine. And then she said, wow, something's happened. You know what? My daughter and I, she said, I used to be a Christian. This Christina then told me, and she said, I want to let you know that my daughter and I are going to go back to church. I pop in there regularly still at that cafe. She has also got active and got involved in a church close to where she lives, and she is growing and going forward in God. You see, what an amazing God we serve. I want to share this. It took very little on my part. It took no apologetic teaching. It took no great wisdom, no great words. All it took was a choice. Was a choice. That's all it took. A simple choice that changed the lives of two people. And who knows, following that, for the rest of eternity. For the rest of eternity. A choice. And I've come to realize more and more that God, for some strange reason, limits himself to our choice and to our choices. You ever thought about that? Isn't that quite bizarre? It would almost seem like no, but you see, I think that what actually happens is when he unlocks us to begin to make ourselves available and we have the confidence to make the choice and to make the right choices, we discover a dimension of power and of life that we become truly the unstoppable in God. And we become that army that is spoken of in Scripture that will do even greater works than Jesus himself did. That's why I let June share that prophetic word this morning. It was so important. Because she said something that was very significant. She said, it's not about the senior leadership or a few elite. It's about every one of us. Every one of us. And you see, there are people in your world. Every one of you has people in your world right now that you are the answer in God to their need. Amen? And all it needs is for you to take a simple step to make a choice. To make a choice. No big hoo-ha. You don't have to spend 10 hours praying in tongues first. You know, although that will help. You know what I'm saying though? It's not, oh, I've got to get the anointing first and then I can. No, I had no idea about that woman standing too. You know what? I began to realize that God, you know, he didn't just intend right in that moment to heal Christine and touch her and get her back into fellowship. He knew the dilemma of that woman behind. And just that simple, can I take your hand? And you know the most amazing thing is there were actually about 7 or 8 people standing along the counter. It was in the morning. It was a busy cafe. And you know that not one person got upset or agitated by the fact that I prayed for this woman. Not one. Not one. I tell you, the world is hungry and they are open. They are so, so open. Choice, the power of the will, I believe, is actually one of the great keys to unlocking the greatness of God in your and my life. The Lord does leave it up to us. He does. Why? Because he wants you and I to grow, to mature to the place where we take responsibility. Where we say, Lord, this you have empowered me. And that's one of the things that I began to discover and have a real revelation about the Holy Spirit is that one of the great keys is that the Holy Spirit wants us to come to the revelation and the realization that he empowers our choice when we make the right choice. It's one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit. Let's unpack this a little bit. Choice, the power of the will, key to greatness in God. Let's talk a little bit about the will very quickly. A definition. Now, there's a lot of definitions and a lot of debates about it. But really, after looking at hundreds of definitions and then going back to Scripture, really, the will is the power of choosing. The faculty or endowment of the soul by which it is capable of choosing, the faculty or the power of the mind by which we decide to do or not to do, the power or faculty of preferring or selecting one or two more objects. You see, before I became a believer, I had a real struggle making the right decisions. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 7. He says, the things that I will to do, I do not do. And the things that I will not to do, I find myself doing. The sad thing in the church today is that Romans chapter 7 has been taken and begun to be taught as a justification for the fact that we don't make the right choices. As if it is a believer's testimony. I've heard so many pastors preach on Romans chapter 7. Oh, brother, don't worry about it. You know, the things that you want to do, you won't do. And the things that you don't want to do, you will do. Oh, that's just what you are going to battle with the flesh. And that's the war inside of you. You know, you've got these two dogs fighting each other. And, you know, the one dog will sometimes be stronger than the other. And then the other dog will sometimes be stronger than the other. That's just the battle you're going to have to put up with the rest of your Christian life. Rubbish! Hogwash. Romans chapter 7 is not the testimony of a believer. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear. Romans chapter 6 is about I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that liveth. About my identity with his death, burial, and resurrection. Then Romans chapter 7 says, while I was under the law, while I was part of the old covenant, while I was not yet redeemed, my mind agreed that the law was good, but my flesh, the sin nature inside of me, stopped me doing it. And he goes on in Romans chapter 7 and unpacks this as the testimony of a man who's trying to live up to the standard of the law in his own strength and in his own power, and he will never overcome. And then in Romans, at the end of Romans chapter 6, in verse 24 to verse 26, he basically culminates it all and says, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He makes that clear, black and white. I said to so many pastors, read that verse to me. Read that verse to me. What does it tell you? And you watch them swallow hard. You see, we are seeking to justify the compromise in our lives instead of recognizing that there is a power and strength inside of me that is greater than the work of sin within my flesh, and that ultimately will infuse me and cause me to go from glory to glory and be transformed into the image of Jesus. Yes, it is a journey. Yes, I'm on a journey. Yes, I might stumble and fall. But the fact of the matter is, I am no longer born of a sin nature. I am born of the nature of heaven. I am born of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells within me, and I am the righteousness of God. I am a new creation, and by His Spirit, I can begin to renew my mind to believe the right thing, to see the right thing. And as I begin to do that, I begin to unlock the flow of His life in and through me. Amen. And that becomes exactly what Romans chapter 8, the next chapter, is all about. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, for the one who sets his mind on the things of the Spirit. You see, there's a spiritual life. Wow. Isn't that powerful? The fact of the matter is that Jesus paid a very high price to redeem the will of man. And I want to tell you that that is the basis of why the enemy no longer has power over your will and my will. And why your will and my will can be completely, 100% utterly submitted to the Holy Spirit and be empowered with His power for you and I to make the right choices that unlocks heaven on earth, unlocks heaven on earth right in my world, in my marriage, in my relationships, in my family, and beyond, into my world, into those that I connect with, etc., etc. Like Christina. Like the other lady, and so many more. That is just one simple testimony of not a great preacher or an anointed man of God. No, just somebody that had that made a choice. I want to tell you, my knees had lots of fellowship in that moment. I was sitting there, and I knew the Holy Spirit was telling me, Sean, ask her if she wants prayer. Ask if she wants prayer. Ask if she wants prayer. No, it can't be the Spirit of God. No. Devil, get behind me, you know. And I'm sitting there, my knees are having fellowship, and I'm thinking to myself, what are these people going to think? Have I lost my mind? Am I crazy? And I don't know, something just rose up inside me and said, no, to heck with it. There's only one person who doesn't want her to be touched and healed, and that's the devil himself. And some anger rose up inside of me, and all of a sudden I said, Christina, give me your hand. And then when she gave me a hand, I suddenly thought, oops. Now, Lord, you're on the show. And I had to remind myself, I don't heal anybody. I don't heal anybody. You see, but the world that I have is a redeemed world. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 to 42, and Luke chapter 22, we read of this incredible wrestle of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Have you ever wondered why he had to wrestle in the garden before he went to the cross? The actual victory did not happen at the cross. I believe it happened in the garden. I believe that was the real warfare. That was where the enemy came. That was where it was the major conflict. It was so intense that the Bible tells us he sweated as of drops of blood. He shed blood in that garden. He wrestled. And what did he wrestle? He wrestled over the will of man. Why did he cry out? Why do I say that? Because he cried out, remove this cup from me if it's possible, but not my will, your will be done. And in that moment of anguish and wrestling and shedding blood for the will of man, he redeemed the will of man. And that's why he could go to the cross and die and be resurrected, because he restored back the power of choice to every human being in Jesus' name. In that moment. And that was why the enemy knew in that moment, I have to stop the Son of God. I have to stop him. Yielding. But he yielded. And he shed blood. And that's why human beings have the power of choice today. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we share with them. And that's why? Because when they hear, they can make a choice. They can make a decision. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mahatma Gandhi put it this way. Strength doesn't come from physical capacity. It comes from an indomitable will. William McDougall said, will is character in action. I love that. Will is character in action. Who should be the greatest people of character in action? You and me, the Church of Jesus Christ. Nothing can withstand the power of the human will if it is willing to stake its very existence to the extent of its purpose, said Benjamin Disraeli. How much more for us as believers? We have a purpose to bring heaven onto earth. We have a purpose to invade the kingdom of darkness for the kingdom of light. Glory be to God, handpicked, chosen to be carriers and vehicles of his glory. Men can do all things, said Leon Albati, if they would just will. That sounds like scripture. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Men can do all things if they would just will. You see, us as believers, we have a redeemed will, a will that has been bought back, a will that has been infused and empowered. You see, Dan Millman said, willpower is the key, is the actual key to success. Successful people strive no matter what they feel by applying their will to overcome apathy, doubt, and fear. You see, I had to overcome a little bit of doubt and a lot of fear right there. I'll be honest with you. I had to overcome a little bit of doubt, lots of fear. Why do I say a little bit of doubt? Because I know God can heal. But in that moment, will he heal right now? Well, actually, it's not my problem. But the fear of rejection, the fear of scorn, the fear of everybody around me laughing at me, thinking, oh, you're a religious fanatic, you've gone cuckoo. Fear of losing my reputation. Well, I thought, I made myself of no reputation. Hello, come on. Scripture says that. Jesus made himself of no reputation. That's why he had no fear of man. He had nothing to lose. Do you have something to lose? This morning, do I have something to lose? The power of will in God. I love what Thomas Boyd said. The will is the keystone in the arch of human achievement. It is the culmination of our complex mental faculties. It is the power that rules minds, men, and nations. Wow. Dale Carnegie, the man who goes furthest is generally the one who is willing to do and to dare. The sure thing boat never, ever gets far from shore. Isn't that so true? Our safety and security. We got to smash it, folks. God wants to pour out his spirit. Peter J. Daniels put it this way. He said, willpower is the indispensable companion of faith. And faith provides the spiritual and biblical foundation for willpower, which leads us to choice. You see, the capacity to choose. I want to share with you that God is actually the source of that. God is the source of it. And we read a number of amazing scriptures. In John chapter 15, we read that starts off in verse 16, for God says, you did not choose me, I chose you. You see, it begins with God. God chose you. God chose me. The power of choice. It began with him, and Jesus paid the price to redeem our will back so that we can now choose him. because he first chose us. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for God is at work in us, both to what? Both. Two things. He's at work within us doing two things, both to will and to do. What does that mean? He gives you the desire and the capacity to actually change desire into action. Hallelujah. Wow. Both to will and to do. For God is at work within you. Say that this morning. God is at work within me, both to will and to do. That is why I am a doer. I am a doer. One more time. I am a doer. Amen. For God is at work within you. See, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We know it so well. It says, now to him who is able to do, God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we could ever ask or even imagine. You see, we all want that. Am I right? Woo! Yes, we want that. Oh, Lord, you're able to do. You're going to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond whatever I could ask or even imagine. And I'm one of the very first people to always preach that because I believe it. Beyond what I could ask or even imagine. But there's a little phrase at the end of that verse. Listen to this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And everybody says, amen. Amen, absolutely. Wow, God, you're more than able to. You are going to do it. And then he says, according to the power that. Sorry, where does it work? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. In us. Oh, no, Lord, don't you want to just do it outside of me and just bring it to me? Come on, come on, come on. Hello, good morning. Oh, we love, oh, Lord, I'm praying, I want breakthrough, and the breakthrough comes to me. How about God? Maybe God wants you and I to get off our butts and to be going to take the steps and to do something and see breakthrough coming through us. Trudy spoke about stewardship. What does Scripture say? That God will entrust those who are faithful with little, he'll entrust them with much. I want to increase, Lord. I want to increase. Well, how about becoming a great steward? How about becoming a faithful tither and a great sower? And maybe you'll discover how much more I'll entrust you with. You see, according to his power at work. Hello? Oh, we don't like that part. Lord, oh, you know, if I can just have another 20 prayer counseling sessions with Sean, you know, maybe I'll catch his anointing. You know, let me tell you one thing. I did part of my internship with an amazing anointed man of God by the name of Reinhard Bonnke. And I initially thought, wow, I'm going to hang around him and I'm going to be able to catch his anointing. You know what? After the first day, I realized this man is going to work me to the bone. And by the second or third day, there were three of us and we sat around and we said, man, this is not what we signed up for. I mean, we're the next generation of anointed men of God. I mean, Reinhard should be taking time out to spend with us. And so he can impart his anointing into us. This is the way we were thinking. And here he was getting us to set up tents and do guy ropes and hammering stakes and, you know. And all the time he had come around. So, young man, are you praying? What do you mean? No, I'm busy working. Well, that shouldn't stop you praying, you know. And he would say, I'm going to come around. He'd come around and he won't see you. Banging in a stake. Oh, rabasakarabasanta. Jesus, souls. Souls, Lord. Korabasakarabasanta. And I suddenly realized by the end of that first week that there is nothing about getting another man's anointing that's just going to come on me, but really the power is within me and I have to begin to make a choice. Amen. I've got to start making some decisions. Oh, rabasakarabasanta. Amen. And that's what began to happen. You see, I had all the prophecies, nations and churches. Well, until I got a wake-up call while doing my internship with Reinhard and got a real slap up the side of the head and down the other side and realized that the Holy Spirit is within me and that it's about his power at work in me and that I've got to start putting some action to this, starts taking a few steps, that God would do exceedingly abundantly above. And I want to tell you, I stand here as testimony, 26 years later. In fact, in January next year, it'll be my 27th year in the ministry full time. 27 years later, God has done far exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what I could ever have imagined. If you had told me, Sean, you will go to the nations, you will see these things happen, miracles, healings, deliverance, transformation, churches planted, you'll see all these students and young people graduate from Bible schools and go out and plant churches, I would have said to you back then, yeah, okay, calm down. You know, you got the wrong person. You see, I wanted Reinhard to lay hands on me. And if he laid hands on me enough, I would get it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not minimizing laying on of hands at all. But you see, we can lay hands on 1,000 times a day. But until you and I get it in here, and realize that what the work of the Holy Spirit is about awakening you and me to begin to make some choices. To choose Him. To choose life. To choose the kingdom. You see, every man builds his own world in his own image. So what's that image? He has the power of choice, but no power to escape the necessity of choice. In the final choice, a soldier's pack is not as heavy as a prisoner's chains. When you make a choice and don't make it, that in itself is a choice. Chuck Palahniuk put it this way, ultimately you have a choice to live or die. Every breath is a choice. Every minute is a choice to be or not to be. Who will you be? Who do you choose to be? And I love what Clement Stone said. You always do what you ultimately want to do, and you will justify it every way you can. This is true with every act. You may say that you had to do something or that you were forced to, but actually, whatever you do by choice, and only you have the power to choose for yourself. You see, every one of us in this room have known the consequences of bad choices. The problem I find in today's society is that sin and bad choices we like to classify as dysfunctions and diseases. So we remove responsibility. Oh, you know, that's a dysfunction in my life. No, it's a choice. Repent and God will change you. As the great philosopher said, he said, I know of no greater power that God has given man than the power of choice. And that in one moment, one right decision can change the rest of his life. One choice. If I leave this one thing with you this morning, to take responsibility for your life in God and say, Lord, from today, I draw a line in the sand. I'm not going to justify. I'm not going to, you know, whatever I use to excuse all the things, the wrong decisions I've made, but I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. You've redeemed my will. There is forgiveness in Jesus, and I make a choice this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit to choose you. You see, it culminated. What is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19? What does God say to Israel? He says the same to us today. For I call heaven and earth as witness before you, and I place before you both life and death. Therefore, choose life. Let's read it. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Therefore, choose life. It's a no-brainer, folks. Am I right? It's a no-brainer. But come on, let's be honest. How many times do we choose wrongly? And then we want God to, and we find that the wrong choice brings a consequence. And then we're getting enslaved by it. Oh, Jesus, then I need you. I need breakthrough, breakthrough. Hello? You know what? God is so gracious, He gives us breakthrough. But you know where it becomes dysfunctional? Is when we keep on making wrong choices and we keep on needing breakthrough. Keep on needing breakthrough. Keep on needing breakthrough. I had a little discussion with somebody recently about that very thing. Saying, how many times have you landed in this position? I think it was their third or fourth time. And I said, do you think maybe you need to change something? Oh, no. God needs to give me a breakthrough. Hello? The power of the Holy Spirit empowers our will to make the right choice. I place before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. How many are choosing life this morning? We're choosing life this morning. I want us to stand in the presence of our Almighty Father, our Heavenly Daddy. And I know that this message has probably challenged, hopefully all of us, if not most of us. And as God began to work with me through this, as I said in the text, I've been marinating in this for weeks, actually. For weeks. Waiting for the right time to preach it. And the reason why it took weeks is because I had a few decisions to make first. Isn't that so true? You know, the word first cuts this way before it cuts that way. And in this, over the last couple of days, I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, it's now. It's a word for now. For us as grow. It's a word for now. Because God wants to do exactly that. Exceedingly, abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. According to His power. So right where you are, I just want you to raise your hands to heaven. And just respond to Him. Respond to this word and say, Father, forgive me for all the wrong choices I've made. And I thank you that your mercy is new every morning. That you even remove the residue from those wrong choices. That it is all covered by your blood. And Lord, I stand before you this morning as a believer in you. Knowing that you empower my will, for you have redeemed it. And I submit my will to your will, Lord. I want your will to be done. Your will to be my will in my world, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, empower me. Empower me to be a vehicle of blessing, to be a source of life into my world, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise this morning. Wow, what an amazing God we serve. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Well, I want to bless you as we go. We've had a tremendous morning. We're going to have even a more amazing week this week. Remember, you are the church in the marketplace. Go and be church. Go and be the vehicle of love and life this week. If God lays somebody in your heart, give them a call. Phone them up. Find out how they're doing. Touch them. Minister. Just let the love and life inside of you splash out over others. And let's bring them all and let's gather next week with an expectation to celebrate together in Him. Who can say an amen to that? In Jesus' name. So, Lord, I just bless your people. I bless them with an amazing, glorious, victorious, abundant breakthrough week, Lord, that you empower them in their choices this week in an amazing way, and they enjoy the fruit of it in every sense of the word, in Jesus' name. I bless you all now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you as you go in the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give them a big hand of praise. Thank you.